Thank you for listening to the Faith Radio Mornings podcast. Enjoy the conversation.
Start your day connecting faith to life with Faith Radio Mornings.
Let it rise.
Hello, friends. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Good morning. It's Monday. Indeed, it is Monday. And it is starting up a new week. And I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you got some R&R. And it's always nice to catch up on a little bit of rest. And I hope your Sabbath yesterday was great, along with Mother's Day. And if your mother was able to get out and celebrate, how nice is that? And if your mother has already gone to be with the Lord, I hope you had some nice warm memories about her, because there's only one mom, and they're one of a kind. So, and this made me think of Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 and 19. It says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hearts and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." And my mom certainly did that. And she's still around, and she's probably going to be listening to the show when she gets up, which should be soon. So, Ma, good morning if you're listening. Okay, let's talk about something that caught my eye right off the bat this morning, and that was this guy who was 101 years old, who decided that he is not afraid of jumping out of airplanes. And he says age is just a number. This World War II vet set the record for the oldest skydive ever. He took his leap of faith over the English countryside yesterday. The D-Day hero beat the previous record set by a Canadian by 35 days. He said he wasn't alone in the jump. He took along his teenage great-grandson, his grandson, his son, and his great-granddaughter. What a jump. And he even put on a parachute, which is smart. All right, we've got a great show this morning. My friend and colleague from West Des Moines, Patrick Albanese, is going to come on, and we're going to talk about events that happened over the weekend. And certainly there was a lot more in the news regarding the James Comey firing and some of the aftermath of that. And North Korea took another shot at a missile launch, which I don't think went well. That gets to be the pattern around there with North Korea. Let's fire something and have it not work and then feel threatened by them. I mean, I'm kind of worried, but not that worried. But I suppose I should be. God's in charge anyway, so he'll protect us and watch over us. So, and if you live in Florida, I do have to say you've got one of the best places to live in the wintertime. But also in Florida, you've got a 13,000 nuisance alligator complaints every year. And that resulted in the removal of 8,000 alligators. The city with the most gator calls, Orlando, with 235, and Sarasota and Tampa. And no cities in South Florida made the list. So if you move to Florida, go to South Florida. Because the last thing you want to do is go out to pick up your paper and then find an alligator in your bushes. That would be horrifying. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk to Patrick Albanese, and we're going to play his theme song, which you may know is "If I Only Had a Brain." That's up next. 7 minutes after the hour. Glad you're with us.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain, I could
while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. My head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching. If I only had a brain, I'd unravel.
It is 8 minutes after the hour. Now on the studio line, the Derek Jeter of morning radio, Patrick Albanese. Hello, Patrick.
Wait, Derek Jeter pre scandal?
Pre scandal.
You know, in his heyday. Yeah.
No, in his heyday. No. Yeah.
It was a good. I'd rather be the Mariano Rivera.
Okay. All right. Well, you can do whatever you want.
If I may, if we're going to pull out a Yankee here, because, you know, I mean, when the Yankees brought out Mariano Rivera, the other team brought out the grief counselor, you know? it's over.
That's so true.
We need to finish this game.
I know. Yeah. I know. Okay. Well, you brought up an interesting point that I want to talk about a little bit this morning, and that is the people that want religion out of government.
Yes. Isn't it amazing that the same people that, you know, separation of church and state, and they say it a lot like that, they say a little Jimmy Stewart twang to it, are the same people that always want more of your money, which says "In God We Trust," by the way, because they say, well, you know, Jesus says you guys got to take care of the poor. And of course, Christians know this. And it's like, wait a minute, what happened to separation of church and state? You're using religion as a cudgel. And I don't often get to say cudgel. So there's my opportunity.
Yeah.
Against us. And yet, if you were to say, oh, I'm so excited to find out that you are interested in what Jesus had to say. Let me tell you some other things he said. And they go, whoa, 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 separation of church and state.
I know.
Just give me the money.
They use it when handy, don't they?
They use it when handy because they, of course, they're not going to live by it. They're planning on using your money to fund their fun things, which we normally don't find all that fun. And it's like, well, could we actually feed the poor with this money? Could we actually help some people?
They use it when convenient, don't they?
When convenient. Instead, we find out that our money, which I love this, it's, you know, they'll donate, you know, what is it, $500 million to Planned Parenthood. And then Planned Parenthood subsequently donates about $50 million to the reelection campaigns. And I say, you know, I'm only half Italian, but as I understand it, the mafia used to do a very similar thing, and it was called money laundering. I'll give you this, and then some of it will come find its way back to you. You just keep the gravy train going here. We'll keep the gravy train going back there. Where are we going to get the money?
Mm-hmm.
From those suckers out there, the taxpayers.
Yeah. So, Patrick, God loves it when a heart is changed. But fill in the blank.
Yeah, well, you know, he wants the heart changed for the pure and for the good. And when you steal people's money, that tends to change the heart to the angry. I don't think that's the kind of change he's looking for. He's like, no. I want this person to give willingly. I want them to come to this realization that helping others it's not just, you know, something I want them to do. I want them to. And I'm sure you've had this happen to you, or, you know, you were probably always this way. That's why I always admired you. But it's, you know, when you come to the point where you're tithing to your church or donating to your church or doing one of these good things and you say, wow, you know, part of me, that was kind of hard to start writing that check every week. But then I came to the realization that, well, you know, I don't have any of this if it weren't for God. I don't have any of this. And it feels really good, and you feel your heart changing because you look forward to it, that you have this ability to even do it. You say, how fortunate am I that I get to do this?
Good point.
Occasionally.
Yeah. Do you think that there's a disabling thought in people's minds when it comes to giving to the poor because we think, well, the government's going to be doing it, and I'm already giving enough of my money to the government?
Yes, I think that's part of it. I think I know for me, one of my concerns is it really going to help? You know, my mother-in-law was a public school teacher for many, many years. And so they'd pass these tax raises or they'd pass these various things that say, hey, you know, we need the money for the schools. And she'd say, it never made it to my classroom. It never made it to the classroom. Instead, I'd show up for work and they'd say, we've created a new department. And there's 6 new employees. Are they teachers? No, they're not teachers. They're bureaucrats. And we have the, you know, Department of Gender Diversity person who has 3 people underneath them to make sure that all kids are comfortable. You say, but we needed money in the classroom. And so I become skeptical, unfortunately, a little bit hardened in my older age. I think, will it even make it there? You say it will, but it never seems to make it. And so I'd rather just take the money, kind of like, oh, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, you say, no. We've set up a foundation. We'll decide, you know, how we can best help people because we know then the money will go to a good cause. Why not let us do it?
Yeah.
Of course,
Bill Gates said he wants to spend the rest of his life helping people less fortunate than himself, which I'm guessing is pretty much everybody.
Except for Jeff Bezos.
Bezos. He's at, what, 81 billion right now?
Yeah, 81 billion.
Yeah.
I think if those guys – remember that show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you had Bezos and Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, what would you call that show if they're contestants? Who Wants to Be a Bazillionaire? And who do they call for a lifeline? They're going, nobody can help me.
Exactly. Yeah. So at 81 billion, you are not filing the short form, which is such a convenience for us.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah. Although he's got a team of attorneys, I'm thinking, could I borrow one of those guys for just 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Just 20 minutes.
Yeah, they're about $1,200 an hour. All right, Patrick, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to get back on topic of things like the aftermath of James Comey firing, and we're also going to touch on just briefly North Korea and that continued craziness coming out of there with the missile launches. And should we be worried? What do you think? Be back in a minute. Good morning. It's 17 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here, talking to my friend and colleague, Patrick Albanese from prestigious West Des Moines. Now, Patrick, with the firing of James Comey, if we're going to be forward thinkers, let's look to see what's going to happen in terms of a new appointee at the FBI as director. And, of course, the Democrats are really quick to try to block whoever Trump's nominee is going to be. And that is...
I have the perfect candidate.
Who?
So there's no way they'd block this guy. No way.
Who's that?
He should nominate James Comey. I mean, they love him so much. Just nominate him right back for the same position. Go, okay, I'll bring him back. Mm-hmm. And then you start to see the fireworks. They'd probably end up, you know, in Senate hearings going, well, no, we don't like him that much. Mm-hmm. We don't like him that much. When he was a punching bag for us and an opportunity to attack you, yeah, we were big fans. We thought he was the greatest, but we don't want him back.
Right. So let's talk about the mock conversation that you had with me over the weekend about did Donald Trump collude with the Russians? And the conversation might have gone something like this. Hey, Vladimir, I'd really like to win.
Oh, yeah. Do you know Donny Boy? I can't do a Russian accent, so I hope you forgive me. It'll probably come out a little bit like Sean Connery. Donny Boy, I agree. You know what? I've never liked Hillary.
What can we do?
So simple. Tell the truth about her.
That's enough. Great idea. Yeah. Nice chatting. Catch you later.
Nice chatting.
There's
I'll talk
the
to
collusion
you.
Right there.
Yeah, and I didn't even know collusion was a crime.
I didn't either. I'm
still trying to figure out. I go, okay, please tell me. You know, they keep saying, well, we need to look into this for this possible collusion between, you know, Trump and Russia. I say, okay, what did they do? Tell me the law that they broke. Was the law that they broke that he got on the phone and said, I'd like to win. Can you help me? He's like, I'll see what I got. And going, okay, did Trump provide hacked emails? Or did – I don't even know what they're saying that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that our leaders – I know that Hillary Clinton, she was, you know, more than proud to say there are leaders of other countries. They want me. Like, was that collusion? Did you speak to them beforehand? Did you say, please endorse me? I don't – is an endorsement collusion? Because Obama just – colluded in the French elections.
That's true.
He colluded with the Israeli elections. He's colluded on the Brexit vote. He's always colluding.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what the penalty is for colluding.
Well, it's big. Let me tell you, colluding is big.
Yeah, we got to write a law real quick like that says collusion. So I'm not entirely certain what did they do that you're saying. Back in the Scooter Libby days, they said, okay, somebody leaked a name mm-hmm. of a covert operative who works behind a desk right now and is on TV all the time. But besides that, they leaked this name. And so we need to – the crime was you can't leak that name. We have to find out who did it.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that.
Yeah. All right. North Korea and Kim Jong-un, is this the boy who cried wolf? Should we be more concerned about him now that they're having discussions with Iran, or is he just a kid that needs some discipline in life?
You know, I think he's going to keep ratcheting it up. You know, the talking with Iran. First off, if Obama still has some people in positions of power, it's like this is going to expose just how bad that Iran deal was. Because if Iran comes across and says, we'll help you because we got some nuclear capabilities and you're having a little bit of trouble getting your missiles. You know, you're only within 60 miles of Russia right now. You can't quite make it to America. We can help you with that. People are going to say, just what kind of a deal did we make with Iran?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the Obama people are going to want to say, look, we've been trying to keep a lot of this under wraps that we sold out America. And I think, you know, in the past, I'd say North Korea was always – doing these things to, you know, hopefully get a visit from Dennis Rodman and a fresh basketball.
Mm-hmm.
They just one. They just have the one. Things aren't so good. But at this point, Trump's not responding.
Mm-hmm.
He's nope, not going to do it. I'm not going to take the bait. We're not sending people over there with baskets of cash. And
right.
Those days are over. I got a feeling he might keep trying to ratchet it up. We could find ourselves in a bad situation. But it seems like since the 90s, placating these people has not been the best idea.
True.
Hasn't worked.
Yeah. I want to ask you about the cyber attack, too. And, of course, that is not over, and that could continue today. And we're just having a discussion this morning with Rebecca about what kind of evil person is going to do a cyber attack that's going to cripple hospitals and people who are in need of surgery and medication. And is that just pure evil or what?
Boy, it's pure evil. Mm-hmm. And how do you find the source of that? And then, you know, you'd like to, you know, people would say, well, the only kind of countries that could do that have technological advancements like China, for instance. They'd say they're the only people that could maybe do it. They seem to have the technology, but they wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So then you turn to the enemies, the North Koreas, the Irans, and, you know, maybe you know, some Middle Eastern countries that have constantly been at war with us. And you'd say, do they have the technology to do that? And if these enemies of ours that we maybe sometimes think of as not as advanced actually do have the capabilities, we got trouble.
Oh, yeah. 29,000 Chinese institutions have been hit. Asian governments and businesses have been disrupted. It's trouble.
It is trouble. And so you go, well, who are the bad players out there? Russia, Iran, maybe China, but they got hit with the, I mean, again, do you say, do they just put up a false flag and say, yeah, we got hit too. It's not us. It's a frightening thing. But of course, sadly, for the average person like you and me, we're going, as long as my internet doesn't go down, I'm good.
That's so true. As long as the Netflix movie isn't interrupted, I'm good.
Yeah, I got streaming here, and I finally got the thing tweaked where it works perfectly, and oh, no. And maybe we need to be a little bit more serious about how serious this is.
Mm-hmm. Did you catch any commencement speeches over the weekend? I see Oprah gave one, and she said having a closet full of shoes doesn't fill up your life. Huh.
She just figured that out?
You know, and she probably only has 39 closets full of shoes.
It's, you know, I think it's great that she gives commencement speeches. It gives people, you know, like, wow, we got to touch the Oprah. We got to get near the Oprah.
Yeah, right.
But it's, sadly, I don't think that you can take a lot of advice. Remember when she went off on her kick of, hey, all you need to do is think the right thoughts and you can have success like me. It's like, well, you got that before you thought the right thoughts. that was right. All there, and you're trying to piece it together. And maybe you're just a very, very fortunate individual who has a lot of talent and you happen to have a product that people wanted and you were in an industry that paid you ridiculous sums of money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
More power to you. But don't try to sell me some snake oil that says, wait, the reason I was able to do this because I meditated for 3 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's more to it than that, Oprah.
Yeah, okay. A minute left, Patrick. I want to try to see if I can't get two more subjects in here real quick. There is going to be more problems coming up with distracted drivers. There is coming up with something called the textilizer, which is going to be some way to detect if someone is actually texting while driving. If you're like me and you're looking around as you're driving, you see way too many people with their heads down. And I think to myself, this is not going to get better until something gets done.
It's not going to get better. And they'll probably have to make sure that that only operates when vehicles aren't moving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, you get behind the wheel of the car and you're saying, please give me a red light. I don't want green lights all the way. I got to finish this text. We're completely opposite of how we used to be. It's like, no, stop. I want to stop. I got to finish this text.
Yeah. And then the last thing I want to say is the Pope did come out and he's very much against the death penalty. Although I do find it interesting, I have no opinion on the death penalty, but I'm just saying if it wasn't for the death penalty and the death and crucifixion of Christ, there would be no salvation for us.
Yes. That's true. Although some of the people that are facing the death penalty right now, I'm not entirely certain they are the next salvation of man.
They are not. Trust me.
They are not.
Yeah.
But we are grateful for Christ doing it for us.
Yeah. But aren't we grateful that he did go to the cross voluntarily, gave up his life, that we could have our sins forgiven and given and be given.
Let's not forget. Yeah. And he committed no crime.
Right. Yep.
So the one guy where it really mattered actually didn't do anything wrong.
Yes. Yes. A sinless life. Absolutely phenomenal. I would love that on my resume, but it's not going to happen.
No, you're going to have to fix that resume.
All right, Patrick, thanks so much. I'll talk to you again next week. Have a great week.
Thanks, you too.
Yep. 27 minutes after the hour, we'll be right back. It is half past the hour. When we come back after the news, we're going to talk to our friend, Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. And I have to say, I'm kind of excited because she's got some nice chunks of good news, which I love. I love good news. Be back in just a minute. Good morning. 25 minutes till the top of the hour. You know, the good news of the gospel goes beyond the gift of salvation. Pastor Derwin Gray explains that when we understand our new identity in Christ, God replaces the lies and labels we've subscribed to in the past.
I really love the psychological aspect of why do you do what you do? Like, why did I get offended? Why was I fearful? And I trace those thoughts back to a label. And then I have to replace that label with what Christ says, that in Jesus, I am more than a conqueror. Not because I'm awesome, but because he is. If he says it, then I need to remove that label of fear by faith and replace it that I am more than a conqueror through him who loved us. That if he went to the cross, that if he rose from the dead and is seated on high and his spirit's in me, then that's who I am.
If you want to hear more of that interview, you can hear the full interview on the website at myfaithradio.com. God-given identity is what you probably punch into the search engine, God-given identity, and that will bring you to Derwin Gray's interview, which is a good one. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. Be back in a minute.
Despite the challenges and for some persecution, we are not the first and we won't be the last to defend our faith. This is Jim Garlow. The early church faced vigorous intellectual attacks, but God raised up defenders of the faith, prolific writers who became known as apologists, a Greek word meaning to make a defense. Scripture reminds us that we all ought to be able to give a defense and answer to those who challenge the faith. These groups of ancient apologists wrote to influence public opinion regarding Jesus, to open minds so that people would consider becoming Christians. Apologists like Justin Martyr, Tertullian, and Origen, men who thought and acted biblically in defending the faith in the early centuries of the church. We are no less called today to be defenders of the faith, to be ready with an answer for the hope we have in Christ Jesus. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
Good morning. It's almost 22. Bill Arnold here with you this morning. Hope your Monday is starting well. It's May 15th, middle of the month already. Where does this month go? I have not caught up with Ruth Kramer in a while, and she is now on the studio line and from Mission Network News. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Did you say, do you have children?
I do.
So did you get fussed over yesterday?
I did.
That's so nice.
My youngest, my baby, is a freshman in college. He just finished his freshman year.
Excuse me? Really?
And yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And he and my husband cooked dinner. My other two were visiting their mom, and so it was just a very interesting kind of a moment where my youngest was making the main side dishes for our meal, and my husband was grilling something, and nothing caught fire.
Those are some of the happiest stories, aren't they? When there's no need for any kind of emergency vehicles.
Yeah, no, nothing, nobody died and nothing caught fire. So we were all good.
That's awesome. Now, I'm very excited that we can start off with some really celebratory news this morning, especially out of Sudan. Please tell that story. It's exciting.
Yeah, it really is. We had the opportunity to share with you the story of the release of the Czechoslovakian Voice of the Martyrs aid worker, Peter Jacek, back in February. And, you know, we were very excited about that. But the big question that was left hanging in the air after his release was, what about the two guys that were in Sudanese jail still? Because they were Sudanese, there was a great deal of concern surrounding their case that maybe people would forget it. Maybe there wasn't enough international pressure to actually get the government to do anything. But the good news is that we had a lot of prayer warriors, and God answered that prayer. So Thursday, the two guys that were still remaining in jail, that's Reverend Taur and Mr. Abdumla, were actually released. The president of Sudan actually pardoned all three men, in spite of the fact that they had been charged with state crimes. And that is a wonderful answer to prayer. There are just so many things that are a mystery at this point into what led to those kinds of things. So we have to just say that really God was working behind the scenes on that one.
Because all four men were charged with espionage, weren't they? Which
espionage and things like fake news. They were they had been charged because they were taking pictures of something within the country's borders.
Mm-hmm.
And so among the things that they were charged with was taking media photos without permission. There were enemies of the state kind of things. Espionage was a big one. The issues of not quite blasphemy, but mm-hmm. they were charged with some of those kinds of things. The crimes that they were charged with were very high state crimes, and they had actually gone through trial and been convicted of these charges. So the two Sudanese men were sentenced to 12 years in jail, and Peter Jacek was sentenced to life in prison.
Wow.
So it was very, very unexpected to see that it would go through that far to that point, because one of the first guys that was released in this case was also facing the same charges, but the court saw fit to release him because there was no evidence to back them up. So how did these guys wind up still going through the trial and being convicted? It's that nobody can figure that out, because they were charged with the same things. And then when Peter Jacek was released, the Sudanese men that remained behind, there was still no logic behind that situation, because if Peter Jacek was released, he was the key defendant in the case.
Mm-hmm.
And these two guys were charged under the same thing. So if the key case, if the key defendant has been released, then why are these two still, you know, being held under the same charges and their sentence? It did make sense. And I think with some pressure from the EU, the special envoy for the promotion of freedom of religion and actually did make a case for their release back in March. And he called for a presidential pardon to be extended as well. So at least we know that the European Union was also watching the case and letting them know, letting the government know that they were fully aware of what was happening and that they were going to continue to bang the drum.
Mm. Well, I have to say, to start on Monday morning, this is a really great piece of news, and the power of prayer. Let's all be encouraged and reminded that it is important to pray, and things felt really stacked against them. I mean, Peter had life in prison, and these other two guys, espionage charges, those don't go away easy, and they've all been pardoned, and so to God be the glory.
It absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as a celebration of this as this case is, we still need to kind of step back a bit and look at it and say this is kind of a reflection, though, of the pressure that the church is under in Sudan. So, it you know, this case turned out fantastically, and it's an encouragement to the body of Christ around the world. It's an encouragement to the body of Christ in Sudan, because during the trial, Christians came to the court and to the courthouse steps, and they were outside holding an obvious prayer vigil. They were outside singing prayers and hymns. And that really put them at risk for a lot of other trouble, because Sudan has been very open about doing away with the Christian element in the state. The church is under a lot of pressure. They're trying to do away with the evangelical church. The president has come out and said he wants to turn the state into a Muslim state. They are going to be under Sharia law. So he wants to do away with any other elements that might challenge that. There's a demolition order against seven churches.
Wow.
It's been suspended, but, you know, at this point, it's still hanging over their heads. Anything could happen between now and the time that there's some action in that situation and action in that case. So just remember that believers in Sudan are an extreme minority, and that they are really calling on the body of Christ to continue to support them in prayer, to make them bold, that they won't be silenced because of the pressure that's coming on them against the government, from the government, I should say, and that the gospel continues to move forward. Because in spite of the fact that this is happening in Sudan, a lot of people are asking questions that kind of start driving them toward finding out more about the person of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Ruth, let's encourage the listeners right now who might be driving to work or getting ready for work at home that through prayer, nothing is impossible for him. And God loves it when we just rely and depend on him, doesn't he?
Oh, yes, please do. I would so appreciate that. And the believers under pressure believe that, and they'd be so grateful for that.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a little short break. When we come back, lots more with Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. In 15 minutes, we're going to be at the top of the hour. We'll be back in a minute. All right, 13 minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here talking to Ruth Kramer, and we are on the good news train this morning. I just love the good news that we can continue talking about Boko Haram released 82 more girls. That's not bad news because they were captive and taken hostage, but they are released.
You know, what a Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Moms. It's a celebration of the release of these 82, the negotiations that have been going on, the rescue of the Chibok schoolgirls, you know, in spite of the fact that Boko Haram has been very active. We do want to celebrate that and thank God for answering prayer, because a lot of people have been praying for them. I do want to remind, you know, everyone who's listening, though, that that was just one group of girls. They were part of those 279, nearly 300 that were kidnapped together a few years ago. And it is good news because, you know, you've seen 21 girls released from that group. You've seen 60 of them escaping, you know, while in transit. So there are still like 117 who are still in captivity, who are still being held, and they're being moved around. But again, you kind of take a step back from that, because that is just one group of multiple groups.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Boko Haram has thousands of girls in their custody, moving them around. They're using them as human shields. They're using them as capital of different kinds, and to further, you know, having children along the Boko Haram line. So there are a lot of families who are still very concerned about the predicament that their daughters are in. There are a lot of things to continue to pray for. Boko Haram, the Chibok situation with these girls that were released is a highlight. It is one of those things that says God answers prayer.
Mm-hmm.
To continue to remember that there are still thousands who are still in custody, to ask that God would strengthen the believers within those groups, because a lot of those girls were taken from areas where they were Christian areas and had been exposed to the gospel and are believers. So we want to pray that their faith holds them steady and that they can live and walk their faith under extreme circumstances with the other girls that they're with.
Well, these girls are living in a everyday horror, and I can only imagine, even upon release, that there's work the Holy Spirit needs to do in their lives to help repair and restore what was robbed and taken from them.
Yeah, and I want to say that Open Doors is one of the groups that comes alongside in support of the families. And also when the girls are released and brought back to reunited with their families, this ministry comes alongside through a national ministry to kind of help them reacclimate into real life, to help them with vocational training and things like that. Open Doors is, you know, the hands and feet of Christ on the ground in Nigeria. And Nigeria clearly has been under siege since 2009 with Boko Haram. So there's a lot to be praying for. And I want to thank those of you at the listening audience who have been praying for the Chibok schoolgirls since their kidnapping. It's been a long time. We want to continue to lift those families up. And also remember the others, the thousands of others that Boko Haram has in their custody.
Ruth, North Korea arrested a fourth U.S. citizen, which caused me to completely change my summer vacation plans. It was between North Korea or the Wisconsin Dells, and I'm now headed back to the Dells.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. At this point, North Korea is doing a lot of things that are pushing boundaries. You know, obviously, they've rattled a lot of the political tensions. They're pushing the boundaries of what the international community is willing to accept on nuclear testing. And it appears that while they're arresting U.S. citizens, there are four now in custody, that they're kind of using them as human capital. It's a form of maybe a hostage taking kind of a thing. We'll give you your guy back if you give us something that we want with regard to the nuclear testing or what have you. The situation in North Korea is extremely difficult. It is a very closed nation. It's a hermit nation. They really don't respond well to much of anything internationally. China seems to be the only country that has any influence with them. And their ideology is just very different. The idea that the ruling family is deified is among those kinds of things. So pretty much anything that the president says goes. And when he gets really upset and he decides to take it out on the scapegoats, it's going to usually be the minorities that he takes it out on, which happens to be the Christians and the underground church there. So it's been very, very difficult for generations to be a follower of Christ in North Korea because they really don't make any bones about how they regard following Christ as a threat to the North Korean identity because it goes against the worship of the ruling family.
So I would imagine Christians in North Korea are pretty closely monitored and you can't it's hard to meet. And there's that ever present surveillance, which we practically have now in America. But I mean, it's even worse there.
We don't even have anything to compare with. Really, when you're suspected of being a Christian, the surveillance is very obvious, and you know you're in danger. And the other part of it is that it doesn't just go with the one Christian who gets arrested. It goes that guy, his wife, their children, his brothers, her sisters, mom and dad, and any other living relatives. The whole extended family gets imprisoned, and some people get executed immediately.
Oh, wow.
So you really have to be very circumspect when you're following Christ. Discipleship is a huge issue because you can't be really open about things. But there is a church that is still surviving in North Korea. They do get discipleship. There are ways that have been successful in coming alongside the body of Christ. We don't have any of the specifics because we don't want to endanger anyone. But there is evidence. There's a lot of evidence. And when people come out of North Korea into South Korea or into China, that's where you see the evidence because that's when they open up and they tell their stories. And you see what God has been doing with a church that has been more under pressure than any other church in the world. I mean, North Korea is like number one and has been number one on the Open Doors World Watch list of countries that are known for the persecution of Christians. And that has been that way for maybe 13 years.
Wow. Ruth, we just have about a minute and a half left, but widows and orphans, we always need to be taking care of them. And there is a way to come alongside the widows in India. I find this to be a great story. Share that with our listeners.
Yeah, India Partners is offering a way for people like us to celebrate moms that they're working with in India. You know, you can sponsor, you can provide a gift like a sewing machine, you can underwrite a class maybe that a vocational class for training. Widows are in a different context than what we understand in India. They're blamed for their husbands' deaths. Nobody wants them. They're a pariah. So there is no way for them to really go to work, to work with other people, because they have this thing around them that people say, I don't want to be around you. You're bad luck because your husband died because of you. So when a woman becomes a widow, it's very hard for her to earn a living without going into human trafficking. And so India Partners is coming alongside these widows that they're working with and sharing with them, you have value, you have worth in the eyes of Christ. You are not your husband's value. You are Christ's. And when these women are hearing this message, it gives them a lot of hope. And when they're also encouraged and taught how to be able to survive making a living, so that they can work around some of those stigmas, it really opens doors for other women who are going through the same kind of thing. The widows are in a small community, so they do know each other, and there are ways to network some of them. Because they're loved and they're embraced and they're shown the love of Jesus Christ, they respond with their whole heart.
What an amazing way to share the gospel, just to come alongside these widows and start loving them and helping them. I had no idea that was going on. That's actually quite shocking.
Well, it is shocking in our context, but it is kind of, that's expected in India. So, you know, India Partners is a group to come alongside with, sponsoring a widow, allowing them a way to be able to provide for their families, because often there are children involved with this kind of thing, and the widows and their children are kicked out of the family or abused heavily by their in-laws when something like that happens.
Wow.
So it's a situation that it really God turns turns something beautiful out of the ashes.
Ruth, thanks for the update. It's been always great to catch up with you and nice to hear your voice again.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate
it. Have a great week. It is 3 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll be right back with more. All right, a couple minutes in front of the top of the hour. Happy Monday. So glad you're with us today. We love that you listen. We love that you support Faith Radio. And thank you for making us part of your morning commute or your morning get ready, because we're just as happy as can be that you're listening. We're going to talk to Dr. Linda Mintel in the next half hour, so stay tuned. We're going to talk about having a strong identity in Christ, and we're also going to talk about that new fidget spinner that kids are using in classrooms. Is that scientific or is it a hoax? I'm guessing hoax. Be back in a minute.
Thank you for listening to this conversation from Faith Radio Mornings. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Faith Radio Mornings. Also, take a moment to subscribe to this podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player and never miss a show.